Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages out of the book of 1 Peter. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 as we take a look in the book.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts this morning in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. Come on and put your hands together and praise the Lord with me. Amen. 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 We thank God this morning for our choir, for God using them. Amen. To usher in the presence of the Lord. For those of you who have your Bibles, put them in your hand and stand to your feet this morning. Amen. I got a Bible quiz question. What book did I preach out of last week? 1 Peter. Can anybody tell me what chapter I preached out of last week? Chapter 4, the top part or the bottom part? Amen. So can anybody tell me probably what I'm going to preach out of this week? 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. That's what's coming up next. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Yes, we was in chapter 4 on last week, and we finished up chapter 4. We looked at verses 12 through 19 out of chapter 4. And so today we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 5, and I just want to look at the first four verses. Are you with me, Bible Way? Amen. Amen. Look at what the scripture says. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Amen. This morning I want to talk with you on the subject, a good shepherd. A good shepherd. High five somebody and tell them Pastor going to talk about a good shepherd. A good shepherd. Y'all praying for me this morning? Amen. In September of 2008, the stock market crashed. It dropped from 12,000 to 6,000. 2008 was also an election year. In November, we would elect a new president. And President George W. Bush at that time done something that I have never saw any president do. But he called the two candidates for presidents to the White House, and he met with them, and he began to share with them regarding the problems that this country was about to face. Because George W. Bush knew that whoever became president would have to take the steering wheel and steer this country through the most toughest economic time this country has ever experienced since the Great Depression. George W. Bush knew that in times of crisis, people look to leadership to solve it. In the same way in the church, Peter knew that there was going to be some fiery trials that was headed the church way. And he knew that the church would look to their leaders to solve them. Therefore, Peter decided to write some encouraging words to the preachers, the leaders, the elders in the church. Because if a church is going to make it through some tough times, you got to, number one, have the right people at the steering wheel. And then they got to be able to know how to steer the church through these tough times. When I look at this passage here, I want to bring out four things this morning as it relates to how to be a good shepherd. Are you going to go with me this morning, Bible? Well, I'm going to have to go by myself. Are you with me, Bible? Because I'm going to go whether you go with me or not. Notice the text. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. First of all, a good shepherd is a person who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. He has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you taking notes this morning? He has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Peter says in verse 1, he's talking about himself. He says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ. He says, I was a witness of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Oh, you remember how Peter was right there when Jesus was suffering. You do remember, don't you? Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he asked the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to pray with me for at least 1 hour. And Jesus went there and he was praying. And the Bible says he was praying and he started sweating great drops of blood. So Peter was there when Jesus was sweating great drops of blood. He was there when they arrested him that night. He was there when they led him there to Pilate Judgment Hall. He was there when they led him there to Herod's palace there for Herod to decide judgment on him. Peter was right there. As a matter of fact, he was right there by the enemy fire. And the Bible lets us know that somebody spotted him out and said, you was one of his disciples. And Peter lied and denied that he ever knew the man. As a matter of fact, he was so much right there that when he denied him the third time, the rooster crowed, and the Bible said Jesus turned and looked at him. So Peter was right there. He was a witness of Jesus suffering at the cross. He was a witness of Jesus being put in the borrowed tomb. He was a witness of Jesus being resurrected from the grave on the third day. He was a witness of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Listen, listen, listen. If a shepherd is going to be a good shepherd, he may not be an eyewitness of the suffering of Jesus, but he better make sure that he is indeed a witness of the suffering of Christ. He's got to know without a shadow, a doubt, that Jesus Christ suffered, he bled, and he died on that cross for your sin and my sin. All before he can preach to people, he got to know without a shadow of doubt that John 3:16 is a reality. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's got to be a witness of the suffering of Jesus Christ. He got to know that Jesus died on that cross on Friday. He got to know that they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he got to know without a shadow of doubt that he got up early Sunday morning with all power in his hand. In other words, he's got to be a witness of the suffering of Jesus Christ. But he also got to believe that God has got some greater things in store for him. He ain't looking for all of his blessings right now, but he's looking to be a partaker of the blessings in glory with Jesus. That's what Peter talked about right there in verse number 1 at the end of the verse. He says, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He got to know that you don't get all your blessings right now. He got to know without the shadow. He got to know that there is some bigger things and some better things to come in glory. He got to know that without a shadow of doubt. As a matter of fact, Jesus and Peter was talking one day, and Peter told Jesus, "Jesus, we done left all and done followed you. What we gonna get?" Y'all may not like Peter, but I love Peter. Peter, he asked the question that everybody else is scared to ask. That's what I like about Peter. Peter says, we done left all that we had to follow you. So what we gonna get? And Jesus said, listen, Peter. Y'all 12 that done left all that you had done followed me. He says, in the kingdom, when I sat on my throne, guess what? There's gonna be 12 other thrones. And y'all gonna sit on these other 12 thrones. And you're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel there in my kingdom. But he didn't stop right there. He says, and for anybody who have forsaken father, mother, houses, and land, sister, brother, wife, and husband for my sake shall have a 100-fold blessing. And in the world to come, eternal life. Oh, you got to know without a shadow of doubt that the best is yet to come. Oh, yeah, regardless what I get right now, I don't have to fuss with anybody because the best is yet to come. Oh, if you're going to be a good shepherd, then you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to know Jesus for yourself. But number two, a good shepherd, he has the right motives. Did you hear what I said? A good shepherd has the right motives. Look here at the text in verse number 2. It says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Amen. Thank you, sister. Notice. Peter says, feed the flock of God. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot right there. That's a lot. That's preaching material right there. When he said feed, because that's the assignment. That's the duty work of the minister. It's to feed the flock of God. Don't you remember after Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus came to him and he says, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And what did Jesus say? Feed my sheep. He said, but Peter, do you really love me? Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. He says, feed my little lambs. He said, Peter, let me ask you one more time. Do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Notice, all 3 times, Jesus never changed the assignment. All 3 times, the assignment is to feed. Amen. Amen. It's simple. He boiled it down to basically one word, but there's a lot in that one word. Feed. What is he talking about when he say feed? Take care of. That's what he's saying. Do everything you need to do to take care of my sheep. And notice, he called them sheep and lambs. He didn't call them pigs and dogs. Are y'all going with me today? Amen. He didn't call them no pig and dog. Amen. There's a difference between feeding God's sheep and then looking at God's sheep as pigs and dogs. Because, see, there's a difference between sheep and pigs. Amen. See, the pig will eat anything. Dogs eat anything. Pigs and dogs are unclean animals. But sheep are clean animals. See, a pig will eat slop. A dog will eat almost anything you chunk at him. But a sheep is looking for some green grass. See, a dog will drink muddy water. But a sheep is looking for some still water. Don't you remember what David said? David said what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making men to do what? Lie down in what? Green pastures. He leads me besides the what? Still, not no muddy water, not no rushing water. It's got to be still water when you're dealing with the sheep. So when he's talking about feeding the sheep, you got to know how to feed the sheep. You got to look at them like they're sheep and not pigs. And then you got to understand sheep sometimes wander away from the fold. So a good shepherd got to go after lost sheep. Yeah, he got to go looking after those lost. You remember Jesus one day said that there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And he counted and he saw he only had 99. Now, most shepherds would have been saying, well, that's all right. I got the majority. I'm just missing one. But for that good shepherd, the Bible says he went looking for that one lost sheep. And when he got him back, he brought him back home. And he says, y'all, let's have a party because that which is lost has been found now. Oh, yeah, he get excited about one. Not only do he get excited, the Bible says that heaven get excited when one soul come back to Jesus Christ. Amen. But then he gotta protect the sheep. Because see, sheep are not like other animals. Sheep are defenseless animals. Yeah. See, like a bear can defend themselves. I mean, he got bear claws. A bear got brute strength. A bear can put you in a bear hug and just break your body. Anyone, a bear can defend himself. A lion can defend himself. Even a porcupine can defend himself. Even a skunk can turn around and defend himself. But a sheep can't defend himself. A sheep, the only thing a sheep got going for it is just bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. He just have to call the shepherd and let the shepherd know that it's bad. It's bad out here. He can't do nothing but just call for the shepherd. That's why you got to have a good shepherd. And that's why the shepherd got to love the sheep. That's the motivation. See, as a matter of fact, that's what Peter going to deal with in the rest of this verse. He's going to deal with the motivation of the shepherd. Notice what he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. He said you need to be doing the job, not because you got to, but because you want to. Yeah. There's a big difference between doing the job because you got to and doing it because you want to. So often when I go to the hospital, I visit Bible Way members and I visit non-members, members who are not even members of Bible Way. And so often when I go and visit these non-members, before I leave, I often ask them, have your pastor or anybody came by from your church to see you? And they often say, yeah, so-and-so came by, but I really didn't put much on that because that was his week to come by. He done that because he had to. But I'm so happy to see you, Reverend. Because they know I was coming not because I had to. But I was coming because I want to. You can't fool sick people. Folks knows when you coming because the church done sent you to go down there. You representing the church. You have to go. Have to. If you're going to minister to them, you got to minister because you want to. And that's what Peter is saying. Peter's saying here, if you're going to minister because you want to, not because somebody is making you to. You got to. But then notice what he says. Not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind. Y'all praying for me up in here? Hey, if somebody is asleep on you, tell them you better wake up because here's a good part is. Yeah, nudge them, thump their head or something. Well, not on thump their head. Just, yeah, no. Amen, amen. But notice what Peter says. Peter says, not for filthy lucre. What is he talking about when he says lucre? Lucre is money. It's wealth. It's finances. But notice he used an adjective, not for filthy. Filthy lucre. Filthy money. Filthy. Well, why did he use the word filthy? What is we talking about when we're talking about filthy? He's talking about a shameful way to make money. That's what he's talking about when he says, hey, y'all not being here in the ministry for a shameful way to make money, or a deceitful way to make money, or a greedy way to make money. This is what he's saying. He's saying, don't get in the ministry for the money, and particularly in a shameful way to make money. You know, you can make money being a prostitute, but that's a shameful way. You can make money selling drugs. But that's a shameful.
Down the glory. If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.